thoughts on things eternal.
Calling him in there.
Both to God's unchanging end.
Amen and amen and amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Hope you come ready to hear. Because that's what we gather for. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. So let's just sing, open the eyes of my heart as Wade comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us tonight.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
You'll see him by the opening of the word.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
To understand you. That's what that song's about. Not see physically. We will see him physically, but we got to understand him first. I was listening to the radio yesterday, I believe it was, and they were talking about Jesus, and even when you hear him talk, it's, yeah, this man was 2,000 years ago, and yeah, he saved my soul, and yeah, but he's that he's back there. He's not here. You know, I mean, he's not. They say, yeah, he's living inside of me, but they really don't know how. And I read, you know, the scripture came back to my mind that where Jesus said, they'll say Jesus, Jesus, or the prophet said that and won't get anything. And then all of a sudden you read the Bible where it says they'll come and say, I've done all these things in your name. All these mighty works I did in your name. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship with you. That's what you and I are. We need to make sure we're having an intimate relationship, not just an acquaintance. Because a lot of people, the foolish virgin is going to be it's just an acquaintance. They come to a place that they get acquainted with God. People get acquainted with the message. But do they ever have it in here, from here to here? It's got to come from here to here. Brother Joe's got a chart he pulled up. From way back when, where it shows memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination, where it's got to be connected all through here, but it's got to come from the heart. If it comes from the heart, then everything will work out fine. So then we will know him. Jesus said, this world won't see me anymore, but you'll see me. In other words, you'll know me. You'll have an intimate relationship with me. But oh, what a great time, though, when we get to see him in person.
Amen.
We get to see the man. I'll tell you a little story. Another thing, you wonder how the world's doing. I kind of figured out. I went to the dentist Tuesday, I guess it was, and had a root canal. Of course, that takes a couple hours, so you're sitting there, you know, and you know me, even with a mouth full of cotton, I can't keep my mouth shut. So, or they couldn't keep my mouth shut, put it that way. But anyway, this little girl was sitting there, and she's, you know, talking to me, and she says, I went and visited this church the other day, and she said, I don't know if we're going back or not. I said, why? Is it something they're saying? No, their service was 2 hours long. I just looked up at her and I said, our services are always 2 hours long. She said, 2 hours long? And she just kept on and on and on. I said, you'll sit and watch. She's from the University of Florida, bless her heart. But she got a degree there and left, so that's a good thing. But I said, you can sit and watch. I did. I kind of baited her. I said, now you sit and watch Florida football on television, right? Yeah, I said, what? I said, you sat there and watch them for 3 hours. A football game is 3 hours long. You sit there and watch that ball game, but you can't sit 2 hours and listen to somebody talk about a man that hung on a cross for at least 2.5 to 3 hours with nails in his hand. I was probably pretty ill when I left. A lot of brotherly kindness wasn't flowing that day. Because I was really ill with the lady. I mean, her religion tells her if it's 2 hours long, then it's wrong. Please, people, good grief. I mean, that man died. God died on the cross for 2.5 hours at least from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Had nail prints in his hand. They strapped him till his guts was almost hanging out. They couldn't. Brother Brown said hamburger meat's what he looked like. But we can't sit 2 hours in a service? Come on, people. I mean, that's what they're doing out there. They're feeding them entertainment. And now they won't even entertain them for 2 hours. So they're going to find them another place. I said, well, maybe you'll find a place that serves you coffee and you can sit there and listen 15 minutes and go to the house. I said, but I don't know what you're going to get, you know, during that time. So anyway, I didn't like for her to keep on and on about that, because you know what? 2 hours is not a long time. And then I told her, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know, you're supposed to tithe. And boy, when you talk to them people about tithing, they're like, their eyes roll back in their head. But I said, look, if you just tithe your time, 10% of your time of a week is not even 2 hours. I mean, it's longer than 2 hours. But if you just give him 2 hours, you're not even giving him 10% of your time. I said, think about that, lady. I said, you're supposed to tithe 10%. I said, give him 10% of your time. You got 90% of your time to do whatever in the world you want to do. Give him 10%. So anyway, I can rattle on and on. But that's what they're getting fed out there. I mean, God bless them. I hate it for them. And Brother Branham did. He said the pulpits become so weak, and that's what they do. They get in the pulpit. And you know what? I thank God for that church had a two-hour service. It wasn't a message church, but it was some kind of center point church in Gainesville or something like that. But anyway, thank God they had a two-hour service. So, and that's okay with me. It wasn't okay with her because she kept on and on about it. So anyway, let's go to Daniel 9:24. And maybe we'll try not to be here 2 hours. By way of announcement, remember Sunday, we're going to meet after the first service in my Sunday school class for everyone that has something to do with the Fall Festival. If you want to do something, please be there. Fall Festival will be October 26th. We're starting at 1 o'clock, right? Like we always do. 1 o'clock until sisters bring dessert. And the chili will be provided by the tall guy and his wife over here leaning against the wall. And we'll have plenty of food, so come hungry. Also, the youth service will be the first Sunday in November. Yeah, make a lot, Susan. The youth service will be, the Bible study part, we're going to start at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. We already have many, many questions that need to be answered, plus we'll be eating. But the youth service at 2 o'clock. Now remember, this is just for the youth, okay? All right. And because there'll be questions and answers that will be catering to them. We will have Bible study from 6 to 8, the adults class, and if you have questions, you need to go to that one. But this is for the youth. All right, you can come and listen, but no participation. This is just for the youth. Set a time for them to be able to talk about the Lord and ask questions. So God bless you. I think that's all the announcements. Daniel 9, verse 24. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. To Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a desire in our heart to come and sit, Lord, at whatever time. We know that many, many years ago, there was no air conditioning, no heat. They came in carriages and horses and buggies, and people would sit all day and listen to a preacher talk about the Word of God. Lord, don't let us get so far away from that, Lord, that we forget that you did. Truly, as a human being, you hung on a cross till almost 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They put you on that tree, and every time your legs would go down, you'd suffocate and you'd have to push yourself back up. My, what a we think we go through a hardship. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to climb up on a cross somewhere. Lord, you told us to bear a cross, and that's fine. But you never told us we had to get up on a cross, because you did that once for all. And Lord, I pray that we'll give you that time. That we'll give you that time, Lord, that we'll remember if we become weary and our eyes become dim and our mind becomes foggy, that we'll remember that you hung on a cross with a crown of thorns shoved in your head for me. And Lord, to give you something a little bit back, Father, let us give you more. Let us give you our life, Lord. Let us give you everything that we have. Father, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our sins. Be with us today, Lord. Be the active participant. You died so that you could come back. And not stay in heaven, you came back down here, and now you're dwelling in people, in a bride, in the end time, Father, where everything is coming to a close. And now, Lord, we pray that you'd just be with us. Take care of each one, Lord, here. Ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us. Brother Al and Sister Anna called in and said they're sick. Different ones, Brother Dick, all the ones, Lord, that are getting up in age. Father, age doesn't mean a difference to you, Lord. Just raise them up for your honor and glory, Father. Just touch each one of us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do 6 things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now that's all of Daniel's 70 weeks. All right. Verse 25, 26, and 27 is going to tell you how it's done. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now we were talking about that with the wild olive branch. You and I had to be grafted in. He was cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolations are determined. And here we're coming up to where we're going to talk about a little more tonight, the sixfold purpose, part 5. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And 1 week equals what? 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing. So the reading of the word, we'll just bring the Brandy chart back out. Thank you, buddy. And I know maybe you can't see that in the back, but they'll zoom in on it if you want to look at it online. It's getting a little worn because we're touching it so many times. But that 1 week equals 7 years. And what we're looking at now is the sixfold purpose. The sixfold purpose is 6 things that happened in this last week to bring in the millennium. Is that all right? Say amen. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about this little part called Armageddon. Because I believe if you'll see that too, you'll see also that there has to be 1 week left after the rapture to fulfill all these things. Amen. To get everything into that 7-year period, it can't be 3.5 years. This thing keeps. There we go. There has to be 1 week left or 7 years after the rapture of the church, which is 1260 days. We'll talk about the two prophets. And then after the Battle of Armageddon, there's got to be some time there. And we're going to read that again too, maybe. But let's get into this. In 2 Chronicles, let's just read. This is the history part here in 2 Chronicles. We read it every time, but I want you to know that in 2 Chronicles, it tells you that what's going to happen. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Remember, God said, I'm going to disperse you because you won't do what I told you. And all the vessels of the house of God, because we're talking about the Jews and we're talking about the city. There was a temple. Solomon's temple was the glory of the age in Jerusalem. That was the time that that everything was no, there was no war, everything was fine. Solomon had, he just married everybody, the king's daughter, and he just married all the king's daughters, and they couldn't go to war with him because they'd have to be going to war with their own family. So, hey, he had 1,000 wives, so somewhere in there had to be some king's daughters, okay? So, but there was a time of wonderful, everything was had gold all over it and silver, and you couldn't even count the gold, the Bible said. You didn't even know what it was worth. And then now what's going to happen, though, between the time of Solomon and the time of all this is going to happen, Israel is going to go and play a prostitute. We've already read that in the Bible. They're going to go out and have other lovers, not physical, but spiritual. They're going to go after other gods. They're going to go to Moloch and all those different ones where they throw their kids in the fire and all these things. And God told them, said, stop it. Through all the prophets, stop it, stop it, stop it. They never would stop. Right. So he said, okay, if you won't stop, I'll stop you. Right. If you won't let your land rest, I'm going to let the land rest. I'm going to let man tear your temple down, but I'm going to build it back up. Glory. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. So whatever was in Jerusalem during that time is gone. Right. They just went in and ransacked the whole place. And it's just exactly what the same thing Titus did, because they built it all back up, and then Titus knocked it down again. But we'll get to that later on in the 70 weeks of Daniel. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereon. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. So in other words, whatever didn't die, he carried them to Babylon. So he dispersed them, took them out of their land. Now remember, God will not deal with Israel unless they're in their homeland. So he's not going to deal with Israel. He never dealt with Israel from the time that Jesus hung on the cross to the seven church ages, because right here is the only place he's going to start dealing back with them. Right here. He's not dealing with them now. Sure, there's going to be saved, but that'll be bride. I'm talking about this group of 144,000 that's promised to be raised back up and a city to be built. All right? And them that had escaped from the sword. I forgot my water. I have to do like Bob. I got to have a care for a pacifier. Y'all ever watch Bob? He'll go, and he'll reach, and then he'll put it back. He'll preach away and he'll put it back. Never does drink a little bit of that water. Where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Because we're going to catch up here in just a few minutes that when we go to, this will be later on, but when we come into Nehemiah and all those different ones, that king of Persia, or Cyrus, the different ones, Cyrus is the one that gives them the opportunity to go back and build Jerusalem, because nobody wants the place built back. So we'll get into that. So fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, 70 years. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, so now let's go to quote number one. We've read this before, but we're going to keep reading it because repetition helps. Because in the sixfold purpose, prophet of God says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? For what? Whose people was it determined upon? Daniel's people, the Jew. So remember, remember, and remember again, the Daniel 70 weeks is talking about two groups. Daniel's people, the Jews, and the holy city. Now that's Bible. All right? Because watch. Daniel's people, the Jew, and what was it determined for? Upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city. Now, class, what's Daniel's holy city? And everybody replies, Jerusalem. All right, so that's the same way with you. That's why I'm saying if you'll catch this sixfold purpose, you'll see that according to the Bible, there has to be 1 week left after the rapture, or 7 full years after the rapture, because you got a battle of Armageddon. How can you build a temple over here and then you get it destroyed again, and then we go into the millennium? No. You can't place it. It's just, you say, well, I got quotes. I got the Bible. If that quote don't match the Bible, it's wrong. But they're not. They're not wrong. You're just not reading it right. Amen? You're not seeing, understanding. Jerusalem. So we got the people and the city. Now look, number two. Let's read number two. And we're going to get into a little bit of this tonight. I was looking at something I hadn't, I guess I did see this, but I hadn't seen it, like I said, understand it, like I do now about the what Brother Brown's saying right here. Now watch, these 70 of weeks covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. Now where did the church go up? Right here. Church goes up, the bride goes in the rapture right here.
Amen.
And she's not seen until Revelation 19:21, coming back into the millennium with Christ to go into the millennium. Is that right? Say amen. That's what that says. And these 70 weeks of Daniel covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. That space is what it covers. Now watch what he says. Now not all 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it. Remember, we got to build dates and times and all this, and Messiah's got to be cut off and all that. But a sixfold purpose is only going to happen right here. To finish, end, and reconcile, to bring in everlasting righteousness, self, vision, prophecy, and anointing most holy. That happens right here. But it's all set up over here. They have to be dispersed. They've been dispersed. They have to be dispersed. They got to come back. They got to build a city. They got to build the wall, even in troublous times. They got to gather back into Jerusalem. But what did they do? They gathered back in Jerusalem, and then the Messiah shows up, and they turn him down. That's where it says he'll be cut off, but not for himself. He didn't die for himself. He died for me and you. But he died for the Jews. When they said, let his blood be on us and our children, that cut that olive tree off. He cut those limbs off, grafted in the wild olive branch for seven church ages. Then we're going to take a rapture. And then in this time right here, that's what we'll get into in just a minute. A lot happens in here. Brother Brown names it. He's talking about the woman in the sun, the red dragon, the vials, the plagues, the trumpets. Everything happens right here. Remember, all trumpets sound under the sixth seal. Well, who opens the sixth seal?
Right.
Two prophets. Okay, right?
Amen.
Then you've got the trumpets. The trumpets, what? The seventh trumpet is it's the kingdom of our Lord has been come to kingdoms of our Christ, and we shall rule and reign. So that's over here.
Right.
There's a lot in that.
Right.
It's going to happen in that last week. And we'll set it all up here in just a minute. 70 weeks are determined. Now there was a sixfold purpose to his visit, telling him what was going to come to pass. There was a sixfold purpose of his coming. Let's go on down to the very end. The 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now remember, that is all that the journey of the Israelites will have in this earth. They are determined. 70 weeks is just determined. That's all allotted to the Jews. See, you and I don't have a time, but they have a time. It's going to be 1,260 days for them to get redemption. That's what's left. You and I have had 2,000 years plus or minus. Because remember, Revelation 10 says he stood on one foot on land, one foot on sea, and said time shall be no longer. But in Daniel it says the same man stood on land and on sea and raised his hand and said it'll be for a time, times, and a dividing of times. So 3.5 years. They've only got 1,260 days, them two prophets know. When they get a revelation of who they are, after 1,260 days, they're going to die. And they know that. But you know, that doesn't bother them one bit. That doesn't bother them one bit, because they keep on right to the very end. All right? Therefore, this 70 weeks, now don't miss it. It will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews. Now watch the end of the Jews. The end of the 144,000 is right here. Because remember, the Battle of Armageddon, there is going to be no Christians on earth.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
There's no Holy Ghost on this whole earth during the Battle of Armageddon. Zero.
Right.
Two witnesses are gone. 144,000 are gone. We're already in glory. Had a senior moment. The foolish virgin. They're going to have to give their life. They're not bride. They're not 144,000. They got to go through this.
Right.
They got to go through this and die. Cup of water in my name. All those different ones. Because remember, when all this culminates and the 144,000 comes back, builds the temple, fifth seal Jew, wherever they're at, I don't know. I kind of do, but I'm not going to say anything about it. But you and I are right here, and that's all that's going to be on the earth that we know of. That's in the Bible is us, the 144,000, fifth seal Jew, There's not going to be a foolish virgin running around. That's what I'm trying to say. There's not going to be a cup of water in my name. There's not going to be any salvation that I know of in this 1,000 years.
Right.
Why? Everybody, because everybody's got to die. They can't go up. You can't have people in here that are not, that go through a millennium that are not saved. I don't know. It's hard to see these things. Therefore, the end, now don't miss it, it will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews, now look, and also the end of Jerusalem until there'll be a new city built.
Right.
End of Jerusalem. Remember, Battle of Armageddon, we're going to read it in a minute. It's an atomic battle. They're going to lay waste to this whole world. Who's they?
No.
Humans.
Right. Right.
Communism, Romanism, fascism, all that Brother Brown said collects into that battle, into that Valley of Megiddo.
Right.
For the Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
All right? Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? So that's what we're heading toward. The Battle of Armageddon. Where everything's wiped off. So Brother Brown places it. The end of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed right here. Because they're going to build a millennial temple somewhere in here according to Ezekiel 42:44. And then we ride back into the millennium as the anointing to the temple. I mean, I'm reading, paraphrasing quotes, but I read you the quotes last Sunday where Brother Brown said that's what it was us riding back into the millennium
right.
with Christ, according to Revelations 19:21, to reside in that temple.
Yeah.
All right, everybody got that?
Amen.
So it's to the end of Jerusalem until there'll be a new city built. Now, how can you build a new city right here if everybody in the message says, no, there's only 3.5 years left after the rapture to finish Daniel 70 weeks? That is not true. According to the Bible.
Right.
How can you bring in everlasting righteousness and do all that over here and then have a battle of Armageddon and then you got to build it again? I don't understand that. But people, listen, quotes will kill you.
Right.
Jesus stood and said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He never explained it one bit. We saw where Paul explained it Sunday, those of you that were here to take communion.
Right.
We'd fulfill that scripture.
Right.
Amen? But did we eat his flesh and drink it? No, that's a quote, brother. Well, you had to get a revelation of the quote.
Right.
I hope you get it real deep tonight, okay? All right, let's go to Revelations 11:1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For he's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. So what's he talking about right here? All right. Everybody got that? Say amen. I'm reading Bible. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy exactly 42 months. 1260 days according to the Jewish calendar.
Amen.
Or the prophetic calendar of 360 days. But that's what they got right there. Everybody got that?
Yep.
Now what's going to happen is the Jews, or the 144,000, let's say not Jews, the 144,000 are going to go through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like you did,
right,
to receive the new birth in their soul,
right,
to make them 144,002
right,
Christians. But not, like I said Sunday, now not statue of a perfect man, not adoption. You can kind of argue a little bit because I don't think the two prophets are the only ones that's going to stand and you know, be able to speak the word.
Right.
I believe maybe the 144,000 may be able to help them a little bit. Because
right. Yeah.
You know what? It's not just one person speaking the word here today. It's a many-membered body speaking the word all over the world. But they're not going to be bride. So they're not required to be up the statue of a perfect man. But they are required to realize, because it's a revelation to you. You can walk around all day, like that guy the other day I was telling you about that said he had done this stuff in his life and he was fixing to go to court. And he's going to go to court and tell him that Brother Branham said the real me didn't do it. What an idiot. I told that brother that told me that, I said he needed to get born again because he was using that justification for a crutch. If you'd have had a true revelation of justification, it makes you right down here. It don't make you right up here.
Amen?
Amen? It makes you realize, and you know you did it, because you did it. But you realize that God can't see it anymore. Wiped it off. Well, that's what he's doing right here. To finish the transgression, make an end of sin, and reconcile their iniquity. Just 144,000. They realize, we're not going to go over it much, but look, they're going to be justified. God's going to forgive them of their sins. What is that? Finish the transgression.
Right.
End of sins.
Right.
And know what happened to you?
Right.
Listen, if you have sin in your soul today, you're not born again.
Right.
It's going to make an end of sin in their soul. And then they're going to be reconciled, just like you and I received, like we read in Corinthians, the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Them two prophets. They're going to preach Christ so real until they're going to say, where'd you get those scars? They're going to all realize that they missed it, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and they totally missed it. But that's the same thing this earth is going to go through too. When they come to the white throne judgment, you know what? The people that don't receive eternal life, God's going to say, I give you an opportunity. You turned me down. I could have finished your transgression. I could have ended your sin and I could have reconciled you back to me, but you wouldn't listen. That's why the foolish virgin walks up. They get eternal life because they did realize somewhere in their life God was cleaning them up, but they never went all the way, as Brother Brown said. They never accepted. They never got to the new part, K-N-E-W. Like Adam knew his wife Eve, an intimate relationship. They never had an intimate relationship with God, but they were sanctified. But they never went on to be reconciled to God. But now what's going to happen with these 144,000? Listen, God promised he'd save them. There's going to be 144,000 that's going to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, by two prophets preaching the Word of God. And what a powerful message, because not just preaching it in the congregation. They're going to be preaching it to the world, but now the only people are going to get it, because what's going to happen is, the Bible says that if somebody come against them to kill them, they would in the same way be killed. In other words, if they come to kill them with whatever gun or whatever it was, the Bible says fire would proceed out of their mouth. And in other words, they have power to do things. But you know what? It's getting ready to end the world, though. They need that powerful message. You and I are having a powerful message. You and I need to realize that you and I are going to be in speaking terms with God before this right here happens. Amen? You're going to be able to call things. I believe that. If you don't believe that, you need to go to the Baptist church. Or somewhere else where they just tell you that God died for you, or, well, not God, but the second guy died for your sins 2,000 years ago. That's not an intimate relationship. But they will have an intimate relationship right here. Nobody in the world will receive it. That's why when they're gone, we'll read it in just a minute what happens. Because remember, there's two battles. Everybody got that? Say amen. There's two battles. There's a battle of Armageddon, and there's a battle of Gog and Magog, which is way over here after the 1,000 years. Two totally separate battles. We'll get into it in a minute. They asked him that question. Two totally separate battles, one at one end of the 1,000 years and one at the other. This one is, man is going to do it. This one over here, God's going to do it. Because God's going to destroy. Because remember, look, right here, battle of Armageddon, those people die. And they stay in the whatever fifth dimension all the way through the 1,000 years.
Right.
Amen? Right? Fifth dimension is where the sinner dead go. There's a lot of people going to pile up in that place during that 1,000 years. And even Satan's bound. But he's not destroyed. But now the battle of Gog and Magog over here, that's when they're going to be destroyed. Everything's going to be destroyed over here by God's fire, which is the holy fire. This will be man's fire. I'll read it where Brother Brown says it will be an atomic battle. That's why it's going to take a while. See, that's why there's still time. There's still time in here for this battle of Armageddon is not going to be everybody's dead. No, there's going to be people survive. Why do you think, Luis? Mad Max? Yeah. Everybody seen it? Them old movies of Mad Max, the people that made it through the apocalypse, you know, and they're all kind of hideous people. And come on. You know what? That's man's mind trying to feel what God said in the Word. Because remember, we're not going to read it tonight, but remember, at the Battle of Armageddon, right after the Battle of Armageddon, in the Bible, it tells you that man would stand on his feet and his skin would fall off of his body, and the birds and all would eat his skin while he was alive. Well, what do you think that is? That's an atomic battle. What happens? Radiation. They say you just peel the skin off of you. Look at them people in Chernobyl. Yeah. Look up Chernobyl in Russia. You'll see where their meat just falls off their skin. Well, you know what? That was under still the grace of God.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This right here is no grace.
Right.
It's just man pushing buttons.
Right.
But thank God we're going to be out of here. Way before that.
Yeah.
But they're going to be out of here right at the end of that, or right at the beginning of that.
Right.
And then man's going to just destroy theirself. Let's go to the next one here where we talk about the first three. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and make reconciliation for iniquity. That's 1, 2, and 3 of the sixfold purpose. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's 1, 2, and 3. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, reconciliation of iniquity. That's not for a temple. You can't reconcile a temple. You can't reconcile a building. You can't end a building sins. You can't, and buildings don't transgress. People do. So there is Daniel's people. But now what about the city? You got to get Daniel and the holy city. If everything is destroyed here, there's got to be time for something to be built. According to Ezekiel 40 through 44. Though the children of Israel or the Jews, 144,000, they go three processes, completes their birth. Then we've been pointing to the chart. I like these words, finish, end, and reconciliation. He's going to finish the transgression, make an end of sin, and reconciliation for iniquity. That's the same way he brought me and you. Listen, if you got sin in your soul tonight, you're not born again. Period. Now, you can have it in your memories and conscious affection and imagination. That's where Satan plays, and that's where God's trying to have preeminence. But if you're born again tonight, he has preeminence already in your soul. Because it's him. It's not you anymore. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not looking back to the old things that I used to do. Same way with 144,000. What are they going to do? You read the Bible. We read it, and I condensed it for tonight. But they look back and they go, where did you get those scars? Well, now, he didn't get them right here. He got them 2,000 years ago at Calvary.
Right.
These two prophets are not going to go over there. And let me be real stern again. They're not going to go over there with tape players and quote books. They're going to preach the Bible to them. And the Bible is going to tell them what they did. Amen. The Bible is going to, they're not going to go over there and walk over and say, now, Brother Brown said, now I promise you, they're going to tell them about us and the prophet that came in the end time. Because remember, see, they're looking for Elijah.
Right.
Remember, I preached a long time ago, the five cups of Elijah. They're looking for, they know if Elijah shows up, the Messiah's going to show up.
Right.
And when John the Baptist showed up, guess what? The Messiah showed up.
Amen.
When Brother Branham come and left, who showed up? The Messiah showed up. But now he's in a many-member form called the bride. But they're going to see that, understand that, and go, we missed that part. But what are these two prophets going to do? They're going to say, oh, but wait. This man over here died for your sins. This man over here in the New Testament told you this is the New Testament in my blood that I've shed for you. This man was hanging on a cross, and we'll tell you in the Bible that this man said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're going to realize that. Then it says, the Bible says they're going to separate, and they're going to mourn, and they're going to wail. Because why? Just like you did. When you got down on your knees and asked God to forgive you your sins, you look back to Calvary.
Amen.
And you heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, this thing gets more alive as you go through it. But it's got to be alive to me and you first. We're the whole, we're the kingpin that's keeping that from happening. The headstone's got to come to get the bride. Because this is not the bride, but we got to get out of the way so God can deal with those Jews. Because he won't deal with us and them at the same time. We'll be in glory in a marriage supper while all this is going on. The bride's going to be in the palace. And then Jesus is going to slip down into two prophets. And he's going to reveal. Oh, they're going to say just like they did Joseph. Oh, we've sinned. There's no... Oh, no. Joseph said, no, wait. This all happened to save you. Remember? There were 7 years of good and 7 years of bad. And now what did Joseph do? He brought his people in. Benjamin. He brought them in to save them. Especially that little Benjamin group, which is the type of the 144,000. Is that all right? We're in the Bible. Okay? So now let's read Revelations 11 again. And let's put this together just for a second. Should be done by 8:30. And that was giving me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship him. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, 1,260 days, in sackcloth and clothed in sackcloth. All right? These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man shall hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth, not just Jerusalem, not just Israel proper. The whole world's going to hate these people. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, when's that going to happen? That's going to happen right here. Right? The 1260-day prophecy, the two prophets are on the earth doing what they're told to do according to the Bible. And that's what they do. They have power to shut up the heaven. But now let's not read verse 7 yet, because verse 7 says when they have finished, the beast is going to kill them. So let's go to Daniel 9:27 and read right here. Keep it in the Bible. And he, now remember, who is that he? That he cannot be Christ or God or anything to do with Christianity, because whoever that he is, that person is going to break that covenant. And God never breaks a covenant. And he, who, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many. In other words, he's going to gather them together and say, okay, you can have all your stuff. Is that all right? Because you know about AD 70, Titus hauled it all to the Vatican. So down under the Vatican, they got everything to put the temple back together. The Jews know that. No, they're not stupid. They know that. So they're going to make a covenant and bring them together for 7 years. And in the midst of the week are 1,260 days. That's kind of the middle. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, how is he going to make it desolate? He, the Antichrist, is going to walk into that temple that for 3.5 years they've tried to make sacrifices to get the Messiah there. He's going to walk in and go, I'm God. Worship me. Amen? That's what it says, the beast. And you, we, the United States of America, not us personal, but in the United States of America, is going to give him power. According to Revelation 13. Give him power to speak. But he's going to make it desolate. Why? When he walks into that temple, a Gentile walks into the temple. He's going to desecrate the temple. So the Jews are going to be one highly agitated group of people. But not the 144,000, because they're going to be standing there going, I don't care who walks in this building. God's right here. He's not standing over there. God's right here. That's why... See, that's why you look at the Bible and you see the different meanings of the Bible. Matthew 24. when Jesus walks up and he gives them all the seals, and then he's telling about what? The olive tree and all these different things. He said, if somebody says Christ is here, he said, don't believe him. Christ is over there, don't believe him. What? Don't you? The Pope's going to know, he's going to think he's God. Because he's Satan and he's the incarnate beast. And you know what? He'll have some signs. He's not going to walk in there and not have nothing. No, he's going to walk in there fully loaded.
Right.
And start doing signs and wonders just like them two prophets. Because there's always two twins. There's always twins.
Right.
And anything you bring in, there's always God and the devil.
Right.
But who's going to prevail? Now look, right here, according to the Bible, he prevails for just a little while.
Right. Right.
He, the Antichrist. Because remember, let's continue. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So he's going to break that 7-year covenant in the midst of the week after this 1260 days. Because remember, he can't touch them two prophets during that time.
Exactly.
The Bible says they're going to prophesy 1260 days. So they're protected.
Right.
Just like we're protected. If you realize that, you won't die.
Right.
That you're protected, that you've got an anointing on you different from everybody else. They got an anointing on them that they will not die for 1260 days.
Right.
I don't care if they can send the Mossad, the FBI, the CIA, the AAIA, or whatever you want to send over there. 1260 days, bullets cannot harm them.
Right.
Poison cannot harm them. Guess what? When we come to close that body change, guess what?
Right.
That's what's going to happen to us.
Glory.
Amen?
Amen?
Brother Bram said, death will crawl up your sleeve and you just brush it right off. Now, how many of you have brushed death off today? If you got up, you did.
Right.
If you got up and walked into this church and you're breathing, you destroyed death for a while anyway.
Because
right. Some people didn't make it through the day. Some people didn't make it to the day. But you did. So you just thank God for that. And when he had finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lay in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, also where our Lord was crucified. So where's that at? Jerusalem. All right. And they of the people and kindred and tongue and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Like I said before, CNN, Fox News, NBC, CBS, ABC, Clinton News Network. I already said that. CNN. Some got that, some didn't. Yeah. But anyway, they're going to be watching. They're going to be, look, those people have tormented the whole world. Now they're dead. And they're going to send gifts to each other. You know what that is? That's an old pagan ritual. In Rome, when they would, you remember the leaves and all the things that the Romans would wear? It's because they conquered somebody and they started sending gifts to different ones. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen because what? Rome is going to be ruling.
Right.
And they of the people in kindred and tongue nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. See, so they'll see it on television or internet, whatever. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. So anyway, these cameras are on these dead guys for 3.5 days. And in Israel, it's really hot all the time. So 3.5 days, they're not going to look so good. Because remember, Lazarus was dead 4 days, and Mary said, what? He stinketh.
Right.
So just, you understand, I'm going to make this as graphic as I can. Because they're going to have cameras on these two guys. These guys tormented the whole world.
Right.
They love to see them dead. Look. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. And make merry and send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, you know what? The people on the earth, they're going to think that they prevailed. And that little thing they just went through was just nothing but, you know, like just a little bump in the road. Oh, buddy, wait till they get right here. You wait till the Battle of Armageddon starts. They don't even realize none of that yet. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now, many times you have to be careful with that, because the 144,000 is going to have to be killed too. So they're all going to take a rapture, because they're going to be right there with them two prophets. Like I said, they're not only going to hate two prophets, they're going to hate all them. The Jews are going to hate the 144,000. You always get persecuted more from within. Right? The inner circle. Judas. Esau. Yeah, and you know who tried to kill Hitler? His inner circle tried to kill him first. So that's the same way with that. They're going to all be killed and go into rapture. Now, when they go into rapture, what's going to happen? All heck's going to break loose. But now look. Let's go back just for a second. This is what I was looking at today. If you look in your Bibles, you don't have to look in it now. But look at, Brother Brown says from Revelations 4:1 to Revelations 19, the bride's seen no more, right?
Right.
We go into rapture. 4:1 is what? John is caught up through an open door. He's caught up. Brother Brown said that's when the bride goes into rapture. Now remember, Revelations 5 is a scene in heaven. A scene. Revelation 6, now remember, the seals open to the Jews, because there stands your sixth seal right there. The sixth seal does not open while we're here in its natural form. Because these two prophets are the sixth seal. We just went through that. That ought to be kind of fresh in your mind. These two prophets are that sixth seal. They are the trumpets. All trumpets sound under the sixth seal, so the trumpets. So read your Bible. Look, Revelation 6. The seals are breaking on earth. Revelation 7. Look at Revelation 7. Revelation 7 is, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners. In other words, all these things, watch. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000. There's Revelation 7. Revelation 8, same thing. Look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11 is where your two prophets come down. Revelation 12, watch this. Revelation 12 is the woman and the son, the man-child being born, and all these different things. Look at the archangel, chapter 13, what? The beast, all this is happening right here. Right here. Now watch, let's go to Revelation 14. I'm just speeding through here. Revelation 14, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's not us. That's them. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. And heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song. One we can't sing. Because we sing a bride song. They sing a 144,000 Jew song. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Which were redeemed from the earth. These are which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. They are redeemed from among men. All right, that's chapter 14. Now go over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, now where does the vials get poured out? Right here. Where does the plagues get poured out? Right here. Is that all right? That's chapter 16. All right, you got the vials on chapter 16. Then chapter 17, you got the seven dooms. You've got Babylon coming in. Now watch chapter 17. Chapter 17 shows you right where it's going to end up at. Right here.
Right.
Rome's going to rule for just a moment. When that 1260 days is over, Rome's going to rule for just a moment. But it's only going to be for just a moment. Therefore shall her plagues come one day, death, mourning, famine. She shall utterly burn with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Then it talks about Babylon again. Then you go to what? Revelation 19.
Yep.
So from Revelation 4:1 to Revelation 19 goes on right here.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I just read the Bible.
Right.
It goes on right here. Not right here. It's all these other things, because you got the Battle of Armageddon in there. You got the, I didn't read it all, but you got the demons that come out with the long hair and all those different scorpions and all that stuff that's happening all through here, Battle of Armageddon. Man standing, can't die, calls for the rocks to fall on him and they can't die. Their skin falls off. The birds eat their skin while they're still alive. That's right in here. But now Revelation 19, you don't see any of that. All you see is what? I read it last Sunday. You see the bride.
Glory.
Coming down to what? Settle on a earth that's been cleaned off.
Right.
By this Battle of Armageddon. but during the Battle of Armageddon, when everything's being taken care of, when that battle is over, God's going to finish His sixfold purpose.
Right.
He's not going to finish it down here. He can't. How are you going to bring in everlasting righteousness and take that hideous stuff I just told you and put it right there?
Right.
Can't do it.
Right.
You can't seal up the vision and prophecy in the people. You can't anoint the most holy down here. That's us coming into the temple. There's not even a temple here. Now, there might be a physical one that man built Antichrist is going to step into, but that ain't God's temple.
Right. Right.
This Ezekiel 40-44 is the dimensions that God told them to build.
Right.
If you'll read Ezekiel 40-44, look at the things that happened through the Eastern Gate and all these different things that are going on. They're going to rebuild that temple because it's to Daniel, people, and the city's got to be built back.
Right.
For a millennium to start.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen. I hope you do, man, because if you don't, when we start reading some of these quotes and things and we start getting through Daniel 70 weeks, you're going to say, where does faith find a resting place?
Right.
Where does it lie in? I read you two quotes last Sunday. Faith find a resting place, the prophet said, is in the Bible.
That's right.
Is in the Word of God. You take everything back to the Word of God and it will work itself out.
Glory.
I promise you it will. Our prophet was not wrong, folks. I'm like Brother Dale. I'll stand right here. Find me somewhere. Now listen, you say, well, he said, now if he said he was wrong, that's different.
Right.
He did stand up one day and said, I preached a white horse rider was the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I was totally wrong.
Yep.
He said, I thought them 144,000 was the bride.
Right.
I thought the fifth sealed Jew was the bride.
Right.
That's what he said. He said it was way past my, but I want you to bring me one quote where he said, I was wrong in Daniel 70 weeks.
Right.
He was not.
Right.
He was not wrong. He said it right the first time, second time, and third time, and every time.
Amen.
But why do people fall off the message wagon, and that's the first thing they bring up? Daniel 70 weeks. Brother Branham was so wrong in Daniel 70 weeks and Feast of the Trumpets. He made so many mistakes. Blah, 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 blah. That's all I hear is blah, 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 blah. But they won't listen to somebody to put them together and put it with the Bible and the message. If you put it with the Bible, take the Bible first. You don't take the prophet's message and make the Bible fit it. No. God don't share His glory with nobody. But if you can take that Bible, I'll guarantee you the prophet's message will fit right in that Bible. Every time. All right, let's look at the Battle of Armageddon just for a second right here, real quick. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, who's thy people? Israel, Jews. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Who? The 144,000 are going to be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now let's go to the 70th week of Daniel. 08-06-1961. I didn't highlight any of these because I want to read through it kind of slow. We got about 15 minutes. Oh, watch these three prophets. Now, he corrects himself. Or these two prophets. When they raise up here. And in the middle of the week, they're cut off like that. Now, where's the middle of the week? I just read you. After 1260 days, they're going to die. And then starts the Battle of Armageddon. Not here, right here. Everybody got that? Either shake your hand or say amen. I'm going to shake your head and say amen. Okay. I'm reading. It's got to fit the Bible. That quote's got to fit the Bible. And watch. And in the middle of the week, they're cut off like that. And then starts the Battle of Armageddon. Then God begins to speak himself. Then he stands and begins to fight. That prophets are striking the earth. What? The sixth seal. They're preaching the name of Jesus Christ. They're baptizing the same way. They're doing the same thing that the first Pentecostal fathers did. And many are following them. But that who's confederated, that organization moved right on down. And even the power of those two prophets didn't break it. That's what struck me today when I read that quote. That power of that federation, denomination, whatever you want to call it, the Pope, that power is so great that it kills them two prophets. It's stronger than they are. Watch. Even the power of those prophets didn't break it. Because I'm telling you, just like they said, when the Antichrist or the Pope walks in right here and walks in that temple and says, I'm your God, a lot of people believe him. Because there's going to be two forces fighting each other. You got to have two to have a battle. Two opposing forces. Even the power of those prophets didn't break it. And finally they said, we'll make it all one organization. And he brings in, what is it? The abomination, Romanism. I just told you, brings it in right here. Romanism to overspread the whole thing that makes desolation. Battle of Armageddon is going to desolate the whole world. The abomination that maketh desolation takes in everything, the filthiness. Now let's read number two, questions and answers. And this is 1953. Look how the abomination of Daniel. When the great prince shall come, he'll prophesy 1,260 days, which was 3 years and 6 months. And that's exactly what Jesus preached. So he's taking the 3.5 years of Jesus preached. He comes to the Jews alone. Now, where is that? Right here. He didn't come. He come to the Jews, but they reject him. Cut him off, remember? Right here. So watch what he's saying. He'll cut him off for a sacrifice of the people. And that abomination maketh desolation. The Mohammedans set up the mausoleum of Omar there, which is over there now. And they would tread down the walls of Jerusalem until what? The Gentile nation be dispensation be fulfilled. What is that? He went to right here. All right, then, watch what he says. And then he will return to the Jews again. And there's when the Battle of Armageddon takes, there he called the Gentiles to take a people out for his name as bride. He goes back to right here. Because remember, he don't take a bride out here. We're gone. So he's got to take us out right here. You got to learn to place it. Yes, sir. The 144,000 are all redeemed Jews that's got to stand there yet, which is in here.
Right.
All right. So now let's go to questions and answers 1954. Red Sea and all these things, they're putting out the materials out there, the Jews, real rich. Then that same thing will pollute their camp again. Yeah. They'll come right down. The cities of the world, Russia will come down. We just got to have that stuff. That's uranium and everything down there. We got to go get it. And as they go down, then will be the battle of Armageddon. That'll be when God will stand like he did in the valley of the children of Israel and fight again. But that'll take that. In other words, that will not take place until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. And when that time is finished, she's cut off. Because remember, there's no Gentile saved after right here. No Gentiles. Zero. We're gone. Gentile bride's out of here. He goes to the Jews, the 144,000. All right. So let's go to the next quote. Now this next quote, thy house, if you'll remember, if you've read your Daniel 70 weeks book, Brother Branham tells you he's leaving that night to drive to Tifton, Georgia to preach this message right here. So this was preached 2 days after Brother Branham preached the 70th week of Daniel on 8-6. He drives all the way to Tifton, Georgia to preach this message. But now what he says. Now the Bible predicts that in the last days he will trap Catholicism, Romanism, and all those things, and then communism. And all them together, they're in the Valley of Megiddo there. Till there be such a slaughter amongst them until the blood will flow to the horse's bit, horse's bridle. See, that's in Revelation. That'll be in. But thanks be to the Heavenly Father. I don't think we'll be there. By His grace, we won't.
Amen.
We'll be in glory then. Look, see, that will be right after the two prophets has prophesied in the Battle of Armageddon. That's when these Gentile nations get so wicked, just keeps on, confederation of churches and all this comes together. God will take the church, the elect church, home out of every one, and all the sleeping virgins will be waiting. In other words, the sleeping virgin will still be here. Now, the bridal's bit, they'll come out from the sleeping virgins and all them back in that day. And he talks about communism. Watch number five. Now, this is questions and answers, 1963, 324. Go to the next quote, number five. Here is the question. Would you please explain about Satan being bound 1,000 years and being loose for the battle of Revelations 28? Now remember, watch what he's saying. Watch what the person's asking. Would you please explain about Satan being bound 1,000 years and being loosed for the battle of Revelations 20? That's the battle of Gog and Magog. Because Satan's not loosed right here. He's loosed over here. Everybody got that? Okay. Give you a little visual, because what he's going to explain, you'll understand. What relation does that have with the Battle of Armageddon as mentioned in the fourth seal? See, this is right after the seals broke. Will Gog and Magog be gathered from the people of the new earth? Well, this is a long one, and I'll just have to hit the spot. See, now the first thing, now maybe I can't explain it, I'll do my best. Would you please explain how Satan is bound 1,000 years, being loosed again for the Battle of Revelation 28? That is not the Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
The Battle of Armageddon takes place on this side. Everybody got that?
Right.
And the other one is at the end of 1,000 years. Over here. Everybody got that? As mentioned in the fourth seal, will Gog and Magog be gathered from people of the new earth? Satan was loosed out of his prison and went to gather all his people, the wicked, to bring them to this place. And God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they were consumed. Two battles altogether, because remember, this is not God's battle. This is man's battle. They're going to kill each other with atomic weapons. This Gog and Magog is God's battle. God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they were consumed. See, they're not consumed here, they're just killed. Their soul stays in the fifth dimension until 1,000 years is over with. But now when you come up to the white throne judgment, there's got to be a battle to destroy those people. This is the way I see it. Number six, Victory Day, 1963. Let's go to paragraph 127. We've had several years of wars and rumors of wars and V-Days and V-Days and V-Days. It'll all finally wind up in the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing. Atomic. And the volcanic ash and things sink this soaked blood of men and upon the earth. And sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth and the volcanic brays out again and renews and cleans the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live here. Amen. I like that. Yes, sir. There's coming a time when it'll be great. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, here's the last one. This one is where Brother Brown puts a lot together. We're going to read it anyway. Number seven, questions and answers, 1964. The church age ending and has blacked out. The bride is called and we have already entered into the tribulation period. Now, there's people still believe that. People believe we're in the millennium. You know how I tell them? Take them to the zoo. Because the lion's supposed to lay down with the lamb. Take them to the zoo and throw them over in the lion pit. We'll see if we're in the millennium or not. Actually, they will see whether they're in the millennium or not. But how foolish. Somebody taught that. And this person right here asked a question. He thinks we're already entered into the tribulation period. That's a question. This is question number 392 on questions and answers. Somebody asked that question. Brother Bram said, No, I wish that I could have more time on that. See, the bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Right here. Right? Laodicea goes into chaos. What? The foolish virgin and all the ones that are going to have to die during this part of the tribulation. The bride goes to glory, and the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then, tribulation sets upon Israel.
Right, exactly.
And then comes the battle. That's that little part right in here. Then comes the battle of Armageddon,
right,
which destroys all things. And then the bride returns back with the groom, right here, what, Revelation 19, for 1,000 years, the millennial reign. Then he finishes up. After that comes the white throne. After that comes new heaven and new earth and a new city coming down from heaven.
Right.
God out of heaven, eternity and time blends together.
Glory.
But we haven't finished. We got to bring in everlasting righteousness, sealeth the vision, prophet, and unfolds all. We ain't done it yet. Bring it up. You got three more to finish up. We didn't finish them over here. This right here gets us into the millennium because, listen, folks, whatever you think about, we don't build temples. We're the bride.
Right.
But according to Ezekiel 40-44, there's got to be a millennial temple built. Our brother Bram says instructed. He means put together. Instructed. Somewhere in here for us to ride back to walk into it.
Right.
Not sit there and watch them build it. Amen?
Amen?
So how can that happen right here? According to what everybody in the message says, there's only 3.5 years to finish Daniel 70 weeks. There can't be. According to the Bible, there's 7 years. 1260 over here, you got the Battle of Armageddon. How can you bring in everlasting righteousness and then have a Battle of Armageddon?
Right.
I just read you what happened in the Battle of Armageddon. Everything's destroyed. Man destroys their self and everything else. And then when all that dies off, there's 144,000 somewhere got to come back in here and start building a temple.
Right.
To bring in everlasting righteousness. Seal up the vision and prophecy. Where is it sealed up? You say, well, it's sealed in me. Sure, the Gentile part, but the sealing up part's in that 144,000.
Right.
That vision is sealed up of Ezekiel 40-44. I don't think they're going to have to come back and go, all right, find me a Bible. No! They're going to come back and know because they're Jews. They study this thing. Don't you think they study that Old Testament?
Right,
they know it better than you know the New Testament.
Right, right.
So they know all the dimensions and they're going to come back. And even the Bible says they'll build houses. They'll build houses and they'll inhabit. I ain't got time to get into that because we're about done. They will have vineyards and someone else won't take over. You know what they're saying? Brother Dale's daddy built a house and then he died. And one day he had to give it to him. And then one day, then generation. No, Bible says they'll build a house and they'll inhabit.
Right.
They'll plant vineyards and you'll get the vineyard. It's not passed on down. They'll build their own thing. But you and I, according to Ezekiel 40-44, you and I are going to be the anointing to that temple. According to what I read you last Sunday, is the anointing to the temple will be the bridegroom and the bride. And the 144,000 is going to be there. He's going to be the son of David. Sitting on a throne, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not ruling over us. He's our husband. We're on a honeymoon. We're not going to be toiling and all these things. We're just going to be there. But they got a lot to do. You know why they got a lot to do? Because they turned Christ down over here.
Oh yeah.
But now remember, before we close right here, remember one thing. Don't look down on these guys. Because their daddy literally walked over there at Calvary and put his hand over their eyes. And he said, I'll deal with you after a while. But I got to get me a Gentile bride. Because they're gonna fall in love with me. And I'm going to marry them. But I'm not going to forget you. Now, I'm the one that blinded you. Now, if God willfully blinds somebody, he can't kill them. That's what, remember, the fifth seal Jew was the same way. He literally blinded them. Well, he literally blinded them for 2,000 years. He blinded them. But when we leave, the hand's lifted off. But only 144,000 are going to see it. And then when all that's over in the Battle of Armageddon, then, folks, we bring in everlasting righteousness. Why? They come back here to the earth, like Brother Bram said right here. The Battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things.
Right.
Everything's destroyed.
Right.
But now remember, that 1,000 years is still in time. We're still in time here. Let's read something real quick. I read it last Sunday. Let's read it again this Sunday. Let's go to Daniel. They don't have it on there, but they can pull it up if they want to. If you keep reading in Daniel, it says, "Go thy way, Daniel," chapter 12, verse 9. "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand."
Right.
Okay. Verse 11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up," when is that? I just told you. Incarnate Satan comes in, the beast, Pope, whatever you want to call it, he walks in and desecrates the temple. They can do no more sacrifices. That's what makes them mad. The whole temple that they built, took them all this time to build it. One man walks in and just desecrates the whole temple. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination," now watch, "that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." That's only 1,260. 1,290 puts you on out here. But we're not done with that. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335th day." That's going on over here a little bit further. We're over in the millennium now. "Blessed is he that makes it to that."
Glory.
Who's going to make it? 144,000? They're going to make it. Because they got to come back here to build that temple. But for you and I, it doesn't matter if we come back right here, right here, right here. But we definitely coming back right here. According to what the Bible says. We can walk right into the Battle of Armageddon and stand there and watch the whole thing be obliterated. And it's not going to bother you. You in a glorified body? So what does it matter? And that's one of the main questions. We'll close right here. Musicians come. Everybody says, Well, Brother Ram says we're in the wedding supper for 3.5 years, and what are we going to do during this time if there's 3.5 years left? You made a bad point. You said time. I thought time is no longer for us right here. So what does it matter? And I want you to show me in the Bible where we're at a wedding supper for 3.5 years. There is no scripture that says we're at a wedding supper for 3.5 years. Nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. But thank God we had a prophet that connected that with that. Because remember, we're in the palace, and Joseph comes back down here to reveal himself to them. It does not matter. What does it matter what we're doing? We're in eternity. But the wedding supper is going to be going on while God reveals himself to the Jews. And when he finishes revealing himself to the Jews, they're going somewhere, Brother Larry, because they're not going to go through this battle of Armageddon. God's going to take them out of here. Take them in a rapture, just like I said. And then them 144,000 have got to come back somewhere in here and build that temple back. That's the Bible. Let's stand to our feet. That's the Bible. And that's your whole sixfold purpose. So Daniel 70 weeks cannot end right here. It has to end right in here.
Right, amen.
Because there's 1 week left. Why do you think Brother Brown preached? He didn't preach the 70 weeks of Daniel on that third sermon. He preached the 70th week.
Right.
Not the half week.
Right.
You say, but I got a quote. It's got to match the Bible.
Right.
If it don't match the Bible, you got to go back and read it again. If you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. But it's God revealing himself, but also hiding himself in total simplicity. Let's sing a song. God bless your heart.
103, rhythm. You have longed for sweet peace
and for faith to increase. Yes, sir.
I want to get a prayer call.
Prayer cloth to keep with them, and we need to keep them in prayer because of all this congestion and junk they're going through. It really is taxing on their body. Pray for your pastor. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's many things that we go through in life, but just like that 144,000, there's a lot they're going to have to go through. But going through it is part of it for us to come out on the other side and be victorious. That prayer cloth is your connection to God.
Amen.
Don't have to pray. Bible didn't say, Acts 19, he didn't say to pray. He said they just gave the cloths to the people and they took them with them. Lord, and he stood for you all these years, Lord. I pray that you'll stand for him now, and I give you, Lord, this petition that he has for this ear, Lord, that he can't hear out of, Lord, and the rest of his body, that you'll just touch him, Father, and bless him, Lord, and may tonight when he is saying his prayers tonight before he lays down, Lord, to take a little nap, Father, that this thing will be taken care of by the time he wakes up in the morning, Father. We pray that this will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe that? Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I've been diagnosed.
Calls it. It's just a diagnosis that they look in a book and see that the things are happening in her body. But Lord, we look to you, Father. We look in your book, the great physician book that says, by your stripes, our sister is healed. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll manifest that, Lord. By the time she gets home today, she will see a difference, Lord. And that from now on, Lord, she'll give you, and I know she will give you the praise and honor and glory for all these things, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You just go believe in that same God. Same God. Same God. Our God hasn't changed. He never changes. Yes, sir. Believe that God's done it. Symptoms? Remember what I always say, a testimony has to have a test first. T-E-S-T. Then the testimony happens after the test comes. So we all going to give a testimony how that God did all these great things for our life. And he's touched us and healed us and kept us safe. Yes, ma'am. Thing. I said, put one on it. See if God will help you play better. Amen? Help you play your notes better. Kids, Brother Brown told many times, remember he prayed with Sarah and Rebecca and all them about test. And then the neighbor's kids would come over and he'd pray for them about their test. You need to do the same thing.
Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, if we don't pray, who's going to?
Amen.
Who's going to pray? We know the prayer of faith will save the sick. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. Hold on a minute. Okay. You heard that. They're going to take a 100 safety course test and remember that in prayer.
See? Can I give a little testimony?
Sure.
Mickey was coming down the stairs to the basement and fell or something, and he couldn't walk. He started limping, and then his whole right side was like paralyzed. He could not walk. So she came up and got a pair of fob. We put it on his little collar and all, and I took him to the vet. We did everything the vet said and everything, gave him his medicine. Well, I'm terrible at giving medicine, so he didn't get all of that. But he is walking. He is running.
Amen. Amen. Let me read you what it says. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Now, to me, them means about anything is breathing. Puppies included. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That said, didn't say pray, it just said they just gave them to them. They just passed them out. They passed them out. Well, I've still got the ones that Brother Branham prayed over when we had that meeting in 2006, I think it was. Perry Green brought us these big old bolts of them and said he drove up to Brother Branham's house there in Arizona, and he said everything I could find. I think he said it wasn't even a sheet on his bed after he got done. He just piled them all in his truck, and Brother Branham just laid over the top of them and prayed. And he handed us bolts of them, and I still got a few right here. You're not getting them. But if you really need one, but you know what? Same God. Same God anointed this. The same God has anointed these. Amen? That God didn't leave in 1965. He just got better and better. He went into a many-membered body. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. All minds clear. Oh, yeah. Me and Brother Terrence, the deacons, and Brother Bob and Dad need to meet for about 10 minutes after the service is over in the office. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless us tonight. I believe you came among us, Lord, and ministered to hearts and settled some questions, settled the minds of the people. Satan would have nothing more than to disrupt all of our life and all of our Satan, as a prophet of God, and I see it more every day, Satan hates revelation. He hates it more than anything is for somebody to get a revelation from God. And that's all right. That's okay. Because we live and feed and breathe on revelation.
Amen.
We need revelation more than anything the prophet of God told us. So, Lord, we need for you to reveal yourself to us. Father, give us this day truly our daily bread. Bless the ones that are sick and not with us. The ones that came up, Lord, we pray that all things will work together to good to them that love the Lord. Who are thee called? And I believe we are. Amen. Lord, you called and we answered. And Father, you've been answering back through the message of the hour now for years for many and years and years and years for many, Father. It's been a long journey. But Father, this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long race, Lord. But you know what? It's about to be over. And we're going home. We're going to enjoy a wedding supper forever, how long a time, it doesn't matter, in another dimension while you do and finish the book of Revelations with the Jews, and then we walk right back in Revelations 19 and fulfill the rest of it. Satan's bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then when Jesus shall return to this earth again. But he's not going to return alone. Father, you're going to return with the bride. And we're going to be able to live and rule and reign there, Lord, with you for 1,000 years. Lord, give us strength. Be with us for the rest of this week. Be with us this weekend coming up, Father, and all the things that we have to do. We pray that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Lord.